Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Kings. We have been reading from Samuel, and 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings were actually written in the same tradition. So Kings follows what's been happening in Samuel. We've been learning about King David, and King David has now passed away, and there were a lot of political machinations at the palace court, and eventually Solomon was the one who was named king, king of Israel and Judah. Listen for the word of God as it's found in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 to 13.
Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established.
Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar.
At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you."
And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked with you, but he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?"
It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life."
This ends our reading from Kings. Solomon asked for wisdom because it's what good leaders do. They recognize what they don't know and listen to people who do know. What a contrast that is with our politicians, who are pressured to act as if they do know everything and vilified for every mistake, so that they double down on their errors and they won't admit when they've done something wrong. The book of Proverbs portrays wisdom as a beautiful, generous lady, and folly as an ugly, manipulative prostitute. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has butchered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town.
You that are simple, turn in here.
To those without sense, she says,
come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight.
Whoever corrects a scoffer wins abuse. Whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you. The wise, when rebuked, will love you. Give instruction to the wise, and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will gain in learning." This ends our reading from Proverbs. Folly just serves bread and water. Wisdom serves meat and wine as well as bread. Meat and wine weren't consumed often by most people in those days. They were for special occasions like festivals or weddings. So in Proverbs, to have a meal of meat or a meal of flesh, as it's often translated, indicates that wisdom is as wonderful and as desirable as a feast. Wisdom's feast brings life, according to Proverbs. The Gospel of John draws on this tradition of wisdom to describe who Jesus is and what he does. In our gospel lesson, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then the crowds followed him across the lake, and Jesus teaches them about the bread of heaven, that he is the bread of life. Listen for the word of God as it's found in John chapter 6, verses 51 to 58.
I am the living bread that is coming down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
The Jews then fought among themselves, saying, "How can this guy give us flesh to eat?"
So Jesus said to them, "Amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Humanity and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood exist in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which those ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever."
This ends our reading of God's word. For some of us, this text in John is just about the Lord's Supper. We've taken these words of John's Gospel and used them in our great prayer of thanksgiving. For others, this text is just creepy. I heard from a woman who had experienced a lot of trauma in her life describe her difficulty with these words. To her, it was about cannibalism, and she didn't want to hear anything about it. It's interesting because cannibalism was one of the early accusations about Christians. And then the disciples didn't like these words either and complained to Jesus about them. The gospel writer is comparing the living bread, the food that Jesus offered, to the manna that came down from heaven to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. Jesus' living bread, the good news to the poor, the healing, his teachings, his getting rid of evil, that will last forever, unlike the manna, which was gone in a day. In Exodus, the Israelites complained that the manna wasn't enough. They wanted flesh, that is, they wanted meat to eat. So God sent quails to feed them. So Jesus uses that story in the wilderness and refers to himself as bringing them flesh and blood. That Greek idiom, flesh and blood, simply means the whole person. But people were willing to misunderstand that, not understanding the hard truth that Jesus was saying about following him where he was going and participating in his life. Like Lady Wisdom, who invited people to her table to eat and live, Jesus invites people into his saving work to consume his words the way the prophet Ezekiel had to consume the scroll with God's words on it. Proverbs says, "Give instruction to the wise, and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will gain in learning." Mike and I were talking about a friend the other day who admits he's wrong very easily. Apologies come swiftly with him. So you never have to wonder where you stand. It's really quite easy. And I wondered why this was so, and Mike said, "Oh, he was in the military. And I know he was, Mike, my husband, was the son of someone in the Air Force. And Mike said, it's something you learn in the military. You learn to take responsibility quickly for your actions and admit your mistakes, especially to your commanding officer, because it's a matter of honor. I thought about the politicians I've been hearing from lately, and I noticed that the ones with military backgrounds do seem to be a little more honorable. They are, though, still politicians. Our story in Kings explained that King Solomon prayed for a wise and discerning mind, and he didn't ask for life or for long life or riches, and so he found favor with God, even though he still burnt incense and offered sacrifices in the high places. King Solomon wasn't perfect, but he did ask for wisdom, and we are called to ask for wisdom and learn the truth. But not everyone is interested in doing that. Proverbs says, whoever corrects a scoffer wins abuse, whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. I've noticed that people in power abuse those who correct them and hurt those who rebuke them. Even these days, when you can Google Snopes or PolitiFacts to find out if a politician is telling the truth or not, they still make baseless accusations and defend indefensible acts. And that's one of the reasons why I picked the bulletin cover of The Credible Hulk. You won't like me when I'm angry because I always support my argument with properly documented scholarly sources. Sometimes we audiences would rather hear a loud, angry opinion instead of a thoughtful one. In 2014, a marketing guy named Brad Montague was tired of all of the mean political rhetoric he was hearing and reading on the internet. So he decided to create something simple and easy to understand using words that a kindergarten teacher might say to inspire people to be a little more civil. And here's the video he made of 9-year-old Robbie Novak dressed up like the president. Robbie calls himself Kid President. This is 20 things we should say more often.
20 things you should say more often. Number 20, thank you. And not just on Thanksgiving, every day. Number 19, excuse me. Number 18, here's a surprise for all that watch you and my friends. There will be more corn dogs, more happy people. This is a good idea. Corn dog for you, corn dog for you.
Because if I didn't, it would make it.
So originally, Brad's videos were just for his family and his friends, but he did put them on YouTube to make it easy for his family and friends to see them, and they became quite a sensation, and the rest of the world appreciated them. The second video Brad made got 2,000 views, and Robbie were pretty excited. Robbie Novak is the boy that you saw in the video. He is Brad's little brother-in-law. Robbie has had more than 70 broken bones and 13 surgeries, and he has steel rods in both legs. He and his sister Lexi have osteogenesis imperfecta, and it's a disease that makes bones brittle. So Robbie and Lexi were in the foster care system, and when Lori and David Novak, who were foster parents, took them both in, they eventually decided to adopt Robbie and Lexi. They had already raised all of their children. They didn't particularly want to be raising any more children, but they loved Lexi and Robbie, and so they adopted them. And Brad married Robbie's older sister. Brad is a lot older than Robbie, as Robbie is so fond of reminding him. But Brad found Robbie's spirit very infectious. And Robbie is, his bones are so brittle that his mom says he can break a bone bumping into the water fountain at church. And often in the videos, you'll see Robbie wearing some sort of cast on some part of him while he is still moving around pretty quickly in the video. So after Lori and David adopted Robbie and Lexi, they asked for advice on how to raise children with OI, as it's called. And a woman with OI told them, "I don't remember all of my surgeries, but I remember every time my parents told me I couldn't do something I wanted to do because they thought I would get hurt." And so Lori and David have encouraged Lexi to take dancing lessons since she was three, and they have encouraged Robbie to be, well, Robbie. And so Brad, as he got to know his little brother-in-law, and as he watched the political discourse in 2013 and 2014, he said, "I thought someone needed to say something about all the meanness. So I was trying to make Robbie, or a kid president, subversively wise, to include a nugget of truth, because when you're hearing it from a kid, it makes it more profound. And there is something powerful about a simple truth like this. We need to live in a world with fewer selfies and more hashtag other peoples. Our church's mission is to be Christ's hands and heart, serving others in the world." It's like what writer and pastor Brian McLaren asks, "Why did Jesus cross the road? To get to the other." We have the Bible that is full of complicated history and confusing theology and contradictory commands, and it's good for us to know about those, to know about Jesus' background so we can understand the Word of God a little better. It's good to know about the hard sayings that keep us from easy answers like everything happens for a reason or God never gives you more than you can handle. But when we read challenging scriptures that we don't understand, that scholars are still debating what it means, when we hear those, we have to hold on to simple truths of love and faithfulness. Wisdom invites those who are simple and those who are without sense to come to her table. And Jesus brought good news to the earth, and that brings us hope. I remember when I asked for advice from fathers for my Father's Day sermon, and Kurt said, "The world isn't fair, make it better." And I thought of that when I heard Kid President say, "If you look around and can't see the awesome, that means it's time to be the awesome." Robbie really likes to dance, despite how dangerous it is for him to be physical. And so he you saw him dancing in the video, and he dances in most of the videos that his big brother-in-law Brad makes, and Brad often either edits out the dancing or puts all the dancing into an outtake video, and Robbie invented this dance. Can you tell what it is? That's the way Brad does it. It's called the pencil sharpener. So Robbie says this. When life gets you down, break dance. Break dancing, as you know, is a dance you have to do when you're already on the floor. So there are people out there who are down, who have been told by well-meaning but clueless Christians, everything happens for a reason, God never gives you more than you can handle, or even, you have a demon, we can't associate with you. They've been told that believing in evolution is a sin, so Christians can't believe in evolution. They've been turned away from church. They've been told that their troubles are God's judgment on them. And I know that some of you find it hard to believe that Christians would say those things. But trust me, they do. And I know because I have listened to the people they have said that to. I have a friend who was hoping to find a church. She was raised in the Mormon church and had a lot of questions, and so she was very hesitant about her faith. She and her fiancé were getting married, and she was looking for a church, and she went to a church in her neighborhood to see about getting married there. It was on a Sunday morning. Worship had already started, and they would not let her into the building. She didn't go back to that church. And I know people say cruel things like it's God's judgment on you, and they say it out of ignorance, but it really is very hurtful, and the people who are hurt by that call me on the phone or talk to me in the community, and most of them can't bring themselves to come to church because they've been so hurt. They're longing for a place where they can encounter God and experience a holy community. And I tell you this because I think some of you don't know that those people are out there. And it is important for us to go to the other side and reach out to them. Simple sayings and cute videos remind us of the importance of following Jesus and making the world a better place. But they aren't enough, especially for people who are down. Because people who are down need a community to support them. And I want to help all of us learn how to invite people to this table, to this space, so they can learn the simple wisdom of Christ. And here is a modern take on the simple wisdom of Christ. Even if hate has a bullhorn, love is louder. That's the message I hope we can share with the others around us, Monday through Saturday. Amen.